That would scare me to death, just having Mom there sitting doing this back. But it didn't seem to bother Mary Ann at all. Beautiful. Thank you so much. This morning, if you've got your Bible, I want you to open to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. And this being Valentine's Day, I wanted to open with a verse of Scripture that certainly speaks of love. And John 3:16 is certainly that, is it not? Let me read John 3:16 and John 3:17, and then we'll approach John chapter 8. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And that's the love of God, and I'm so thankful that He loves me. I'm so thankful that He loves you, and not only does He love you and I, He loves the whole world. The Bible says it's not God's desire that any be lost, but that all come to the knowledge of the truth. I had that wonderful opportunity this week to share that with a young lady who felt like she'd never grown up in the church and her mother never took her to church, and so she asked me. She said it's very difficult for me to read the Bible. She said I can't understand the Bible. It's hard to understand. And I told her, I shared with her, what you need is you need the Holy Spirit. In you. You need the gift of the Holy Spirit. God gives it freely. God's willing to give the gift of the Holy Spirit to all that will ask Him and believe upon His Son. And as I was sharing that with her, she asked me, she said, "Would you be able to provide, would you be able to get me a Bible that would be easy for me to read?" I said, "I'd be happy to do that." And so as we shared, I shared with her John 3:16 and 17. That God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes upon Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then I went on to John 3:17. "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." This little lady felt like that her life was unworthy of God's love. And you know what? It's true. None of us are worthy of God's love, are we? But I'm thankful that He loved us so much that He sent His Son into this world to die on Calvary's cross to cover it, that His blood might cover our sin. It's interesting how many people think that Jesus Christ was sent into this world to be a finger pointer, that He came into this world to criticize lifestyles and to criticize dress and to criticize entertainment and a host of other things that the human flesh loves to be involved in. And yet in Christ's own words, He said, "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." God already knew our sad and sinful condition before His Son ever came to be the Savior of the world. He knew that we were callous. He knew that we were hard-hearted and stiff-necked. And yet His Son came into this world anyway. And by the way, He came at the height of spiritual wickedness. But He didn't come to judge and He didn't come to condemn. Jesus Christ came into this world, why? For what reason? To save the world. To save the world. And a perfect example of this truth is found in a few chapters down from John chapter 3 down to John chapter 8. The Bible says, beginning in John chapter 8 and verse 1, it says, "Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning He came again into the temple, and all the people came unto Him, and He sat down and taught them." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, this morning, Lord, as we have another opportunity to share in Your Word, we thank You, Father, for Your Word. We thank You for these that have come this way this morning. We ask Your blessing upon them. Father, we pray that as we share in Your Word, that if there's one here this morning that's never made a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, never received that special gift of salvation and that special gift of the Holy Spirit, that today would be the day that they would open their heart and receive those gifts. Father, bless Your people this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Verse 1 says, Jesus went into the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him and sat down and taught him. And he sat down and he taught them. Here is the Creator of all things coming to his people. Coming not to judge the people or condemn the people, but to encourage and strengthen and give hope to whosoever would come to him. And we note that the scripture says all the people came unto him. They came willingly. And he began to teach them. And you know something? That's the only way you'll ever enter into the kingdom of God is if you come to the Lord Jesus Christ willingly. Christ doesn't drag you into glory. Christ has no interest in taking you someplace that you don't want to go. And so when we open our hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ, we invite him to come in. He welcomes us and he brings us into the kingdom of God. These people came willingly and began to teach them. Matthew 11:28 says, Jesus says, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And my goodness, these people were living in a time when they needed some spiritual rest. And here Christ is in the temple, and the people come to him, and he shares with them the wonderful truths of the kingdom of God. And what a peace and quiet there is in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. How many of you this week have taken out time for the Lord Jesus Christ? How many of you this week have taken out time, precious time, to get off and get to the side and get to some place where there's peace and quiet and just seek the Lord's face? Huh? I hope all of you. I hope every one of you. God wants you to do that. In fact, God wants you to do that on a daily basis. What peace and quiet there is in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3, the Bible says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. And so I would ask you this morning, what kind of peace are you experiencing today? I hope that you're experiencing the peace that only the Lord Jesus Christ can bring. You know, you can get peace in a number of different ways, and I'll share that. Christ can bring peace and quiet to an otherwise turbulent and stressful heart. When we come to him in quiet meditation and in prayer, he is the Prince of Peace. That's what the Bible says. John 14:27, Jesus says, peace I leave unto you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now you can find temporary peace in this world from any number of things. You might find temporary peace in alcohol. You might find temporary peace in drugs. You might find temporary peace in money or power or worldly relationships, but you will never find the eternal peace of heart that only Christ can bring unto you until you're willing to open your heart and to receive it. Verse 3 says, and the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. What a terrible thing to happen. Can you imagine having a Sunday school lesson going on and everybody's caught up in the Sunday school lesson, everybody's caught up in the Word of God, and people are sharing, having a good time in the Lord Jesus, and then somebody just busts through and wants to point out in judgment somebody else's sin? Can you imagine that? Well, this is exactly what happened here. And these are the religious leaders of the day. These are the religious leaders of the day. No wonder there was such spiritual darkness throughout the land. So here these people show no compassion or mercy whatsoever for this woman, but publicly humiliated her and demanded that Christ judge her. And by the way, Christian brother or sister, the devil tries to do this very thing to you and I every day. He daily accuses us before the throne of God. But the Lord Jesus Christ stands at the right hand of the Majesty on high and declares our innocence before a holy God. Are we innocent? Are we innocent? Well, we are certainly innocent before the Lord Jesus Christ, before his Father, because he has interceded on our behalf. But sometimes we stumble and we fall and we make miserable mistakes. Sometimes we find ourselves in the judging seat, judging other folks, and spending our time acting like we're God instead of leaving all of that to the Lord Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, Jesus, the Bible says, Jesus is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto him, that come unto God by him, seeing he ever lives to make intercession for them. And I'm thankful of that. Are we deserving of God's intercession? No, we're not. We deserve the cross, but Christ took that judgment for us. that we might one day walk eternally in the coolness of the day with Him. But Satan judges, and he uses many times the unsuspecting Christian or the arrogant and self-righteous religious person to do his bidding. So here come the scribes and the Pharisees with this woman, and they throw her down in the midst of the people, and they accuse her before the people. They say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. You know what, if I was Jesus, do you know what I would have done at that time? Which, you know, I'm thankful that I'm not Jesus. But I would have taken that opportunity to expose those individuals' sin as well. How would they like it to have their sin exposed before a company of believers or a company of any company? I want you to keep in mind that there is a great audience gathered around Christ. It's the very audience that he's been teaching. And now he's forced to deal with this group of hypocrites and respond to an obvious attempt to trap him in a contradiction. If he says, take her and stone her in accordance with the law, those who know him to be a man of great mercy and compassion, a man who had healed many and cast out demons, a man who has taught them the great principles of mercy and forgiveness, he will now no doubt bring upon himself great discredit. The people will no longer trust him nor believe him to be the true voice of the Lord. That's one of the reasons you and I have to be very careful about what we say and how we act before others. And how we answer other folks. It's sometimes very difficult to be a Christian and try to rightly discern and decide among one situation or another, trusting that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be lifted up and exalted and not yourself, and you're not going to bring discredit to the Lord Jesus or to our Heavenly Father. And here Jesus is caught in the middle of this challenge. But you know, it's not a challenge to Jesus. Jesus always has turned the tables around. And with every question that he was asked, he asked them a question. But on the other hand, if he says, take her and stone her, then he's showing lack of mercy and compassion. But on the other hand, if he says, no, the woman should not be stoned, then he would be openly contradicting the law of Moses and likewise be at odds with the Jewish authorities, and he could be legitimately arrested for such a public violation. So what does he do? What does he do? The Bible says, but Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. Now some believe that he began to write the Ten Commandments just as he had written them before on Mount Sinai with his finger. In Exodus chapter 31, verse 18, the Bible says, And God gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him upon Mount Sinai, two tables of testimony, tables of stone written with the finger of God. And so there are those that believe Christ was writing again in the sand with his finger the Ten Commandments. And then on the other hand, Christ could have been writing out all of the grievous sins committed by these self-appointed judges. Boy, wouldn't that be embarrassing? Revelation 20:12 says, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. I'm thankful that that Christ has taken my name out of the book of life and put it in the Lamb's book. Amen. Give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. He takes it out of one series of books and he puts it in a single book, the Lamb's book of life. Every sin we've ever committed is written down in heaven. And it will remain there as a witness against us in God's great day of judgment unless we come to Christ and receive His forgiveness of our sins. These self-appointed judges are willing to judge but not be judged. So Christ may have been writing down specific violations of the law committed by these men, making them ineligible to judge any man or woman. Or as recorded in the book of Daniel, when God wrote on the wall of the great palace of Belshazzar, "Thou hast been weighed in the balances and found wanting." Christ could have been exposing the sinfulness of these men just as they had been anxious to expose the sins of this woman. Whatever Christ was writing in the sand, it exposed these men and convicted their hearts and turned them away from their intended act of judgment. Verse 7 says, So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And then again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, the leader, if you will, even unto the last, and Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. The leader of the pack, was the first to drop his stones on the ground and walk away. After him followed the rest, one by one, dropping their stones as they went. He that is without sin, Jesus said, among you, let him first cast a stone. Not one of them was eligible to judge this woman, for they were all guilty of sin in one way or another. Romans 3:23 says, what? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 5:12 says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Someone might say, well, I've never committed adultery. And if I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. But some might say, I've never committed adultery. But you know what Christ says in Matthew 5:28? He says, I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And you know, that seems unfair, doesn't it? We are all sinners, saved by grace. This is merely to say that what our sinful bodies have not embraced physically, our sinful mind has entertained, and we are still guilty of sin. We, every one of us, are in need of a Savior. These men weren't so much interested in judging the woman as they were judging the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know what? The business of judging comes home to roost eventually. The more we want to judge other people, the more you're going to find you're going to be judged. What is it they say about a person who lives in a glass house shouldn't be throwing stones? These men dropped their stones and they walked away, and all have sinned, the Bible teaches, and come short of the glory of God. And now here she is, all alone before the true judge of all the earth. And this is the way it will be for every soul one day. Every one of us will stand before Christ all alone to give an account of our service to Him, or to give an account of our life without Him. The unsaved will hear Christ say, Depart from me, I never knew you. The saved will appear before the Lord Jesus Christ to give an account of their service to Christ and to others, and hopefully to hear Christ say to them, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou in to the joy of the Lord. And so every one of us, just like this woman taken in adultery, will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ one day and give an account. And verse 10 says, When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She was guilty of committing adultery. And the men who brought her to Jesus were right. The law demanded that such a one should be stoned to death. But Christ said unto her, Woman, hath no man condemned thee? And she said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go, and what? Is that possible? What was Christ talking about? What kind of sin? Willful sin. The world is caught up in willful sin today. Her sin was deserving of judgment, but you see, Christ took her sin of adultery upon His own body and carried that sin straight up the hill to Calvary, where His shed blood was poured out for her and for all, and that would seek forgiveness in Christ's name. This woman was encouraged by the Lord, told by the Lord Jesus Christ, Go and sin no more. Don't get caught up in willful sin. and willful rebellion. And yet we do that every day. I believe that's true. You know, we need a Savior. Is that not true? We need a Savior. We're not perfect. The Lord Jesus died for us because we're not perfect. But in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, the Bible says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This promise of righteousness, this promise is for the Christian and the Christian alone. This promise is not for the unbelieving or the unsaved. This promise is not for the unbelieving or the unsaved. The promise to the unsaved is found in our introduction passage. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Do you believe in the Lord Jesus this morning? Listen to what God says here. Listen to what the Lord Jesus says. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. It's like you're walking around as a dead person. But Christ can give you life. Christ can give you life when you believe upon Him, not from the head, but from the heart. And finally, in verse 12, the Bible says, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The light of life. You know what that is? That's the true knowledge of life. That's the true knowledge of life. As a Christian, I can just about promise you every day is not a joyous day for Christians. Many days are times of trials and tribulation. They're not joyous days. And it doesn't seem like you've got all the light of the Lord Jesus Christ flowing around you and glowing around you. Yeah, but you really do. The light of the Lord Jesus Christ is the truth about what life is all about. And the Bible teaches, the Bible's the only book that teaches you what life is really all about. The Bible's the only book that tells you where you came from. The Bible's the only book that tells you why you are here. And it's the only book that tells you where you're going. That's the truth. That's the light of understanding of what life is really all about. What is it that God expects of us today? Does He expect us to be judges? Does He expect us to be judges? Does He expect us to walk around condemning one another? Malachi chapter 6 says this. Malachi chapter 6, beginning in verse 8, it says, He hath shown thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God? He hath showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God? There is no way that you and I will ever meet this simple requirement without having the presence of God's Spirit dwelling within us. And there's no way that you and I can have the presence of God's Spirit without first committing our life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. The Scripture says, Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that's what I shared with that young lady this week. I said, you know, you can't read, you can't understand. I don't care whether you get what translation you get of the Holy Scriptures. You're not going to understand one bit of it unless first you have the presence of the Holy Spirit in you. And you get that by asking God for it. You get that by first believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and then receiving that wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit that will open up your eyes and open up your understanding to what life is really all about. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. That's a wonderful gift that God has given to you and me. Because why? Because He loves us. you and me. And it's hard to believe, but He does. Amen. It is Valentine's Day. And as Martha and I love one another, we're so thankful that our love together is bound up by the one who created us, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this morning, Lord, we thank You for Your Word. Father, we thank You, Lord, that You love us, that You died for us, Father, that You've provided for us a home in glory. And Father, we hear of folks who are leaving this world every day. And Father, we pray that as they leave this world, they're leaving this world to enter into a better world. But Father, if there's one here this morning that has never made a personal commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray that they'll never they won't leave this world until such time as they do. Because the world that is ahead for the unbeliever is a world of torment, eternal torment and pain and suffering. And it's not because that's Your will for them, Father. It's because they've chosen their own pathway. And that's where that pathway leads to. So, Father, I pray this morning, if there's one here undone without the Lord Jesus Christ, that they'll this moment reach out and receive Christ as Lord and Savior, acknowledge their sin and receive Christ and that wonderful blessing of the gift of the Holy Spirit. Father, You bless, You get praise, get honor and glory, for we ask these things in Christ's name. And all God's people said, Amen.